God bless all of you tonight, and may heaven smile upon you. It is such a pleasure to stand in ministry here tonight, and to some degree, it's also a little bit nerve-wracking, I guess, because for a number of reasons, not the least of which is that I have been so abundantly blessed by those that have preceded me in ministry during this conference. Every speaker has impacted my soul and fed me. And I am just so thankful for that. We give honor to the organizers of this conference, Pastor Holland, and all of those that co-sponsored this. And my hat is off to you for your vision and desire for change here in your district. And I feel like that my two messages that I'll have the opportunity to share with you during this conference will fit nicely within the framework that you have outlined. And my two messages are connected topically. And so without a lot of further preliminaries, if you don't mind, open your Bible to the book of Mark, the 14th chapter. Beginning at verse number 3, when you have it indicated by saying amen. Here beginneth the reading of God's word, and being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. There were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always. And whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. Everyone say she did what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily, I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Take your neighbor by the hand and let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word that's settled in heaven that is rich and pure. Lord, tonight we stand before you as an empty vessel before a full fountain, needing you, Lord. Oh, God, I pray tonight that you would give us utterance. Hey, God, give us utterance tonight, Lord, to speak to this great multitude of people your engrafted word. In the name of Jesus, be very real to us tonight, Lord. Walk up and down each aisle, Lord. Lay on us, Jesus, with that anointing that we so desperately crave for. Lay on us, Jesus, with that power that will make the difference. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. My subject is change the atmosphere. Turn to somebody and tell them, change the atmosphere. Now turn to somebody else and tell them, break the box. Oh, you didn't say that anyway like you meant it. Say it again. Break the box. All right, clap your hands and you can be seated. Change the atmosphere. I have been feeling in my spirit something in the last couple of weeks or so that has to do with this idea of change. And on tomorrow morning, I'm going to deal with it more pointedly, but it's important when we begin to deal with this idea of change that even in the context of the ad lib to my message tonight that says break the box, break implies a departure from normalcy. It implies a change from the status quo. It implies a change from that is usual, customary, and perceived to be reasonable. In the days that we live, that is usual, customary, reasonable, normal, and status quo may have to be disrupted. If we're going to impact the world, our communities, then there must be something that happens of such provocative portions in our own spirits that it can in turn touch the lives of people and communities. When we began to deal with God and understand God in His Godness, if I can use that term, fundamentally we must accept the fact that God requires honor and praise. Matter of fact, if I accept the concept of God, implied in it is praise. For He is a superior and I'm an inferior. And I approach God based on the fact that He is greater than I can ever be. And my response to Him, while not perhaps articulated by hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, it's oriented by praise. And when it's time for us to enter into worship and praise, particularly in a corporate sense, God does not want us to think of praise, but rather He wants us to open our mouths and say a praise. He wants to hear our praise. Matter of fact, it magnifies your concept of God to hear yourself express the goodness of God. It does not add anything to God intrinsically for you to praise Him. For God is as God as He will ever be. Oh, my God. But if you praise Him, it will magnify your concept of God. So much so, the writer said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And there is something that happens in the cosmos when you extol God, when you lift up God. To use a natural analogy, if you just praise a natural man, that man will go to great lengths to show you that what you're praising him for is legitimate and right, and you should keep on doing it. And man is so much like God that if you really want him to move for you, just begin to tell him how good he is. You're my joy. You're my way maker. You're my strength. And God will begin to flex his muscles, if you please, and show you that what you said about him is true. Do I have a witness in here? Now again, understand that you cannot make God any bigger than he already is. Oh my God. But when you praise him and enter into the media of worship, he becomes bigger to you. He swells up in you. So then, if I have a smaller anointing, instead of being jealous of you that have a greater anointing, if I can just release myself to praise him, then the anointing in me would begin to swell up. And the apothecary would stir up my anointing until he becomes bigger to me. Somebody say praise the Lord. So then, I need some help here. If I want a greater expression of God in my life, I can't sit in the house of the Lord with a aloof expression on my face and expect God to move in my life. I may have to get out of my comfort zone. Turn to somebody and tell them that requires change. God did not promise to fit into your training. He did not promise to fit into your background. He did not promise to fit into your personality, your culture,
your idiosyncrasies, your age, your philosophy, your education. He didn't promise to fit in any of that. God says, I know what I want and I like what I want. And if I find somebody that'll give me what I want, then I'll bless them. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Ah, God said, when I created things, I did not create them to make me any more God than I am. I made them to acknowledge the fact that I am God. I created something that would tell me what I already was. The Bible says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The oak tree spreads out its branches and speaks of the majesty of God. The grass creeps up out of the ground and testifies of his power and the authenticity of his glory. The whole creation acknowledges the sovereignty of God. It is he who sits on the circle of the earth and has all power in his hand. That's the reason he said, seek the Lord while he may be found, and call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will show mercy. Can you say amen, somebody? My brothers and sisters, I want to rock the boat if I need to tonight. I want to tell you that already are baptized in his name and filled with the Holy Ghost, that capsule of your relationship with God is not all that there is. Matter of fact, some of us began, can I loosen my tie? Some of us began to neglect seeking the Lord after we received the gift of the Holy Ghost. My brothers and sisters, God does not have to make it easy for you to come into his presence. He does not have to make it easy or comfortable for you. Matter of fact, God likes those that are in pursuit of him. That is continual pursuit of the Lord. He says, I won't open the door if you won't knock on it. In other words, you have to be an initiator. You have to want God. And those organizers of this fire conference are attempting to stimulate in your faith, amen, that desire to want God more than anybody or anything else. Lord, I feel like preaching now. He wants you to want God more than you want prestige. He wants you to want God more than you want the position, more than the church politics. Come on, somebody. More than organizational levels. You've got to want God more than anything else. You've got to want God. Oh, hallelujah. God says, because I'm exalted by seeing you try to come into my presence. I need some volume on the monitor, please. He said, when I see you trying to get into my presence, I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Let me tell you something about how God dealt with an Old Testament leader called Saul. Saul was rejected because he sought the position of God more than the presence of God. And God is not interested in promoting people that are seeking promotions and positions, but he is promoting those that are seeking his presence. Shout amen, somebody. God is not interested in who's on the right hand and who's on the left hand and who's going to get the title and who's going to get the home missions director and who's going to become superintendent and who's going to be the choir leader. He's not God to promote your agenda. He is not your bellboy. He is not your maid. God said, I will wait till you understand that you are here to serve me. You did not choose yourself, but I have chosen you, and you are here to seek me. Seek me until he rains down a change. Somebody shout yes. But I feel like preaching tonight. Sit down. You go tell Jonah, Lord, I feel my help now. Go tell Jonah, I'm not going to chase him across the ocean. I'll stop him in the middle of his tracks. Because I'm God, I don't have to chase anybody. God said, before I let you get away, Jonah, I'll hold you in fish guts. I'll make the fish vomit you up. And when you get out of there, you'll be so glad to change that you'll run a 3 days journey in one day. God said, my church in this last day, in order to experience revival and evangelism, my church must seek me. And God rejected Saul because he sought everything more than he sought God. And we're living in a day when folks are seeking everything more than God. Because we're seeking the blessings more than the blesser. But God will help you to understand that the blessings don't mean anything without a relationship or fellowship, as our brother said, with the blesser. And he'll freeze you out till you understand. You got what you want, but you don't. I need what you got. And when you get it, you don't want what you've got. Say amen, somebody. Woe be to the church, to the district, to the organization that will seek anything above God. For that you seek after becomes your idol. I know we classify idols in the church, but my brothers and sisters, whatever you pursue, that is what you worship. Lord, I'm going to preach here in just a minute. But you must understand that the very process of seeking God is an act of worship. It is an act of praise. My brothers and sisters, we've got to move and break the box of our traditionalism. We have locked God up and said, this is the way we do it, and this ain't the way, and this is how we praise him. But I want to tell you, Tennessee, that the very act of seeking God is an act of praise. So then, be careful what you chase after. For if you chase it, you better be sure it's good enough to be your God. Be sure it can heal you when you're sick. When you're dying, be sure it can raise you. Be careful what you chase after. You better be sure that what you're seeking after is good enough to be your God. Somebody shout yes. And God, sit down, rejected Saul because he sought the position. And Samuel lay in oppression and depression, crying in the ashes. And while Samuel lay crying, God went on a manhunt. My brothers and sisters, God ain't, pardon me, gonna cry over you if you don't want to seek him. If you're so caught up in what you're caught up in, if you're locked up in the box, God will find somebody else. Yeah, Lord. They might not have the label UPC, but he'll find somebody else that will praise him, that he will reveal himself to those that will get out of the box and seek God. Somebody shout yes. And so while God, while Samuel, Lord have mercy, while Samuel lay crying, God went on a manhunt. My brothers and sisters, if you won't praise him, he'll find somebody that will. Come on here. He'll find somebody that will sing and somebody that will raise their hands. God is not in trouble if you refuse to come, to give, to do, to work. Don't expect heaven to go bankrupt because you have an attitude. God said to Samuel, I'm looking for a man. And God never goes looking for what he can't find. God said, I'm looking for a man that's looking for me. And he said, I found a man that was after mine own heart. One of the few things that God ever sought after was a worshiper. For God is complete all by himself. But in order for his godness to be displayed, it must come through the realm of the human. And so God is seeking such to worship him. And he said, I sought a man, hear me tonight, that was after my heart. He was not a pattern of my heart, but he was after my heart. He was pursuing me. Listen to me. David was not a pattern of God's heart. No. He was an adulterer. He was a murderer. That's not the pattern of God's heart. But David was after God's heart. He kept searching and he kept looking up, and it kept pursuing up. Come on, somebody. God said, I kept searching until I found somebody that was searching after me. And he said, oh, there he is. He said, I found him out on the hillside. He doesn't have any title. The district board refused to see him because he didn't fit the mold. He smells like animals. Hear me tonight. He smells like sheep and goats. Come on, somebody. But he's out there on a hill seeking after me. He's twirling around in a circle, saying, the Lord is my light and my salvation. He's singing me songs. He's writing poetry to me. He's blowing me kisses. He's courting me. He's flirting with my divinity. He's after me. He's after me. He's after me. And fire is designed to produce in you that desire to be after God, to be chasing after God, to be pursuing after God. If you believe it, shout yeah. Oh, hallelujah. David is after me. He's calling me his strength and his buckler. He's calling me his fortress. He's after me. And God said, I'm going to bless him because he is after me. He doesn't have a title. Lord have mercy. When God finds someone that will seek him, he will promote him. God said, I'll make him king. But God, you didn't read his resume. He has no training. God said, I'll make him king. He's not groomed in the nuances of kingship. He didn't grow up in the royal court. He was never who's who. He doesn't have a beautiful personality. Nobody knows him. Come on, somebody. But God said, that's the one that I'll make king. Who am I preaching to tonight? Your name is not in the lights. You may never be who's who in the UPC. Come on, somebody. But God said, if you're after me, I know who you are. I know your name. And if you're after me, I'll be after you. Shout yeah. Shout yeah. I want to tell you something else, and I don't know how this sits with you, but I've often wondered when Samuel went to the house to find the one that he was going to anoint king, Jesse somehow overlooked the fact that he had another son out in the field. Come on, somebody. Yes. And so it was the priest that said, you've got to have another one. What's going on here? Did Jesse forget that he had another son? Somehow it tells me that David was the proverbial black sheep of the family. Come on, somebody. I think it's interesting how David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. Maybe David was a bastard child. Maybe he was an illegitimate child. Come on, somebody. Somehow he didn't fit in with the brothers. When he went to take the food to the brothers, they looked at him in disdain. Somehow he didn't fit in. But God said, I don't look on you according to the outward appearance. I don't look on you according to the way man looks on you. I'm looking at your heart, David, and I see that you're after me. And if you're after me, I'll be after you. Tennessee, can I tell you, if you're after God, God will be after you. If you believe it, shout yeah. Go find him. Go find him. They'll act like he's not there, but he's got to be around. And when you find him, go pour the oil of anointing on him. And anoint him again. No matter how many folks overlook you, if you get in your secret closet, God will find you. And so here is David. As he begins to flirt with God, he said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. Come on, my brothers. It wouldn't be bad enough. It wouldn't just be enough for this conference just to excite you and for you to sit in awe at the great preaching. Come on, somebody. God is trying to excite you to seek after him. Why? So that you can change the atmosphere. Somebody shout praise the Lord. How can we seek God if we think we have known God? We have declared to the world and to much of the world of Christendom that we know God. You know, when folks are trying to impress you, they tell you who they know. Well, I was just last week there and I preached for Elder so-and-so, and Reverend so-and-so is my best friend, and I was just in Congress a few days ago. Come on, somebody. We name drop when we're trying to impress people. And imagine the audacity then that we tell people we know God. I'm gonna see how y'all gonna shout now. Do you really think you know God? Chill out, man. Don't give it away. Do you really think you know God? God, who sat on the mountain and they saw his clearness. God, who sits on the circle of the earth, who speaks into eternity. God, through whom is all things, by whom do all things consist. God, who holds up all things by the word of his power. God, who told the sun to stand still and is still standing there, being upheld by the word of his power. Do you really think you know God? God, who snatched the sting out of death. God, do you really think you know God? Come on, church. We don't know God. We do know church. We do know protocol. We know a little bit of Greek and a little bit of Hebrew, but we don't know God. Who told you you knew God? Moses followed him in the desert and confess, I've led a million people. You know me, but I don't even know your name. We don't even know our own family members. How can you say you know God? Your children still surprise you. How can you say you know God? We don't even know ourselves. How can you say you know God? For the heart is deceitful above all things. I mean, it's tricky and it will surprise you and desperately wicked. Who can know it? God said, I'm the only one that know you. You don't know me. Moses said, I'm serving you, but I don't know you. And God said, there is a place beside me, Moses. And if you come up higher, I'll show you my glory. I'll pass over you, and my goodness will pass over you. You won't know me, but you'll get a glimpse of my glory. Why? Because you sought after me. He said, I'll take you to a place of glory. Saul, I got a few doubters in here, so let me just go to the New Testament since we discount the Old Testament for everything we don't want to believe. Let's go to the New Testament. And there was a man named Saul. Turned Paul on the Damascus Road. Come on, somebody. Personally tutored by God for 3.5 years in the Arabian desert. He was the preacher's preacher, the pastor's pastor, the apostle's apostle, wrote much of the New Testament. But after preaching and teaching and leading God's people, Paul said, oh, that I might know him. I wrote much of the New Testament, but I didn't know you. Preach the preachers, but I didn't know you. Oh, that I might know you. He's got to be more than a Santa Claus giving gifts to screaming children. Paul said, I've got to know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. I've got to know him more than in just the anointing. I've got to know him in more than just the hoopla. I've got to know him in the midnight hour, in my trouble, in my despair, in my sickness. Oh, that I might know him. When all hell is loose, when my friends are gone, when there's sweat on my brow and tears in my eye, when I lay naked and exposed and my ego is on the chopping block, oh, I want to know him. Have we allowed ourselves to believe that we know him? And perhaps that's why we don't seek him as we should. Because why seek what you already have? You might as well just come up here and preach, man. You just know everything. Come on, somebody. We know Acts 2 and 38 and a couple of more, and we say that's all there is to know about God. Come on, my brothers and sisters. It's time to change. God is much more than you'll ever put in your little brain. He's much more than you'll ever begin to imagine. Perhaps the greatest deception, sit down, that Satan has released in the earth today is a false sense of security and contentment among Holy Ghost filled folks baptized in Jesus' name. Are we too comfortable? That's why we have to hire people to lead us into the presence of the Lord. Our preachers cannot edify, they must entertain. We have more equipment than ever before. We know more about praise than ever before. We know the Hebrew extraction and the Greek transliteration. We can explain it, but can we do it? And we come to church as spectators. We evaluate who's the best and who's mediocre and who's a 10 and who's a 5. Come on, somebody. Who are you that you should be stirred anyway? Did not we come to stir God? Did not we come to stir heaven? Who are you that you should be stirred? And who are you that you should have the audacity to get your measuring stick out and say he's a 5? Oh, Reverend, you preach good tonight. Anytime a man preaches the word, he's preaching good. Whether he's got the style and the aura or not, he's preaching good. And we sit back and look important. And we cross our legs. And we sit in our pretty silk ties. And God knows if he didn't give you the next breath, you couldn't catch it in a fast car. So he said, let everything that has breath, Holy Ghost filled breath, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What do you say? Well, I'm not emotional, brother preacher. And I love this one. I wish I could do it like you folks do it. Don't get nervous. Problem is not that you're not obedient. The problem is not that you're not emotional, is that you're not obedient. Come on, somebody. This is not a feeling. This is not culturally based. This is a fact from a sovereign God that said, if you will please me, you've got to praise me. And you've got to seek after me in order that you might be changed. But may I submit to you tonight that we've gotten used to God. We've gotten good used to good choirs and good music. Good music and good preaching. We got so used to God, we schedule him like a little league baseball game. Have we become so used to God that we've forgotten the chill bumps? Oh, God, have we become so used to God, so used to the anointing, that we're not impressed with God? While we sit in our snug, comfortable ways, patting each other on the back, saying how good we look, and oh, keeping things usual and customary and reasonable and normal and so used to God. Oh, you don't have to say amen if you don't want to. Become so used to God that we're not impressed with him. But we're not the first. For the disciples also were the same. When they first met him, they quit their jobs to walk with him. Never mind what we're going to eat, Lord. Just feed us till we want no more. Keep talking to me, Jesus. And so Jesus asked them on one occasion. He said, listen, boys, will you leave me? And they looked at Jesus like he was crazy and said, huh? Leave you? You have the words of eternal life. And they were like, Jesus, come on, get a grip. I mean, you know. Well, I once was a tax collector and a fisherman, but it can't touch this. I've got a relationship with you now, Lord. I'm listening to you talk to me. But now in the text tonight, they had been with him so long. They had seen the testimonies. They had seen the sick being healed and the dead being raised. They had seen Jesus perform on his good days and on his bad days. They saw him when he was tired. They played golf with him. They went fishing together. Come on, somebody. They slept together. They ate at the same hotel place together. Come on, somebody. They had seen him on ordinary days, on extraordinary days. And so they were not impressed with him any longer. They were so busy being busy that they didn't notice that the fire was gone out of there. Eyes, they spent normal days so busy doing the work of the Lord that they had forgotten the work, the Lord of the work, and they were so used to Jesus that now he was just one of the fellows. And so in our text tonight, they went to Bethany and they were in the big shot's house, and it was no big deal that Jesus was in the midst with them. Can you imagine that Jesus was in the house and it's no big deal? No fine china, no crystal. Jesus, just get a Burger King. There's a leftover one in the refrigerator. And isn't that what it's like when we come into his house over and over again, and his presence no longer excites us? It's just ho-hum. Well, if I take a liking, I'll experience the anointing. Isn't that what it's like, Mr. Businessman? You know stocks and bonds. You know mutual funds. And this, that, and the other. But do you have a relationship so that you can praise him? Wouldn't it be nice if every once in a while we uncrossed our legs and loosened our ties and messed up our pretty hairdos and said, now it's just me and you. Forget who I am, who folks think I am, who I want them to believe that I am. And right now I'm going to seek you. Till he rains down fire. They were so used to Jesus that when he came in, Peter, James, and John, they just grabbed a chair and said, Jesus, oh, just get a seat. Oh, it's been a rough day. So much to do, so little time. Jesus, I would wash your feet. It's not that I don't want to. Lord, you know my heart. It wasn't convenient. And so they sat at meat with Jesus as though it were no big deal. Isn't that an insult when his presence no longer excites you? And so they sat at meat with all of the big church boys, the religious potentates, aristocracy of the ecclesia, the religious elite. They sat at meat with all of the big church boys. Oh, it was no big deal that the Lord of the earth was in the house. Lord, I'm going to preach this thing tonight, whether you say amen or not. Of a sudden, through the door comes a woman. A woman. A woman. A woman. No title, no position, no voice. In fact, there was a rumor out on her. It was in the Tennessean Star. Oh, Lord, have mercy. The rumor. I better watch it. The rumor was out. It heard it on CNN. The rumor was out. It comes on the radio. CNN comes on the radio. It does. I've heard it in the car. CNN recorded the rumor. Come on, somebody. Even the Bible recorded the rumor. And so when she opened the door, they began to whisper, oh, there's that woman. Sometimes you can feel hostility in the air. She walked into an air and atmosphere that was not receptive of her. She knew it, but she wouldn't acknowledge it. She was tough enough to be controversial, but yet keep coming back. She was on a mission and she had purpose. She said, I will not be distracted, even by you, Peter, even by you, James and John. I didn't come to see you. I came to see Jesus. Turn to somebody and tell them, get out of my way. I came to fire to see Jesus. Tell somebody else, I came to fire to see Jesus. I didn't come to see who could preach the best and whose choir could sing the best, but I came to fire to see Jesus. Turn to somebody and tell them, step aside. And they were murmuring, but she didn't argue. She didn't defend herself. I'm trying to hurry. She said, I came to see Jesus. She knew how to seize the moment. My brothers and sisters, you will never see this moment again. And so while you have this moment, you better seize this moment right now. If the Spirit of the Lord moves on you this moment to seek after him, seize the moment. If God moves on you to order your life different, seize the moment. If he says, I'll pour down the fire on you, seize this moment. She had nothing to lose. Everybody already knew about her. She had nobody to impress. Come on, somebody. They were talking about her anyway. And so she said, listen, my life has already been reduced to simplicity. I'm not trying to get in their clique. I'm not trying to get on the board. I'm not trying to be a trustee. There's one thing that I desire of the Lord. And you can always tell a person who can seize the moment. That person that doesn't seem to care what anybody thinks. And so she walked in the room as though Peter, James, and John didn't even exist. And she came straight to Jesus. She came through a flesh wall of indignation and frustration and carnality. And you may have to come through the same thing. You may have to go through the wall of ego and pride to get what you need from Jesus. But keep your focus. She didn't care. When you've got to not care what folks think, I've got to see Jesus. I didn't come to see the church boys. I came to see Jesus. And the gospel writers record different modes of worship. One said she anointed his feet, one his head. One said she cried and wiped his feet with her hair. But my brothers and sisters, she did it all. And when you're glad to be in the presence of the Lord, you, with all of your idiosyncrasies, yes, you, with who you are, you can do it all. If I have to spin, I can spin. If I have to jump, I can jump. If I have to cry, I can cry. If I have to roll, I can roll. If I have to dance, I'll dance. I can do it all. And so she began to worship him. Not the building, but not the doctrine, but not the order of service, but come on, somebody. Not the choir, but not the organization, but him. This is between me and Jesus. And she fell at his feet. I'm the only woman in here. No problem. They may murmur and start a rumor. It don't matter. Oh, God. And worship, for it to really be good, has got to be spontaneous and unrehearsed. And she fell at his feet. This is what I've been needing. Oh, Lord, have mercy. What others have gotten used to, this is what I want. And I want to give him something. And love ventilates itself through giving. She said, what can I give? Her bodily movement did not change the atmosphere. But she had an alabaster box. Shipped from India, expensive, designed to hold the finest perfumes so that the aroma would not escape. This stuff was the good stuff. It wasn't Giorgio and East St. Laurent and Langer. No, that's the cheap stuff. This was the good stuff. It could have been sold for a lot of money, but when you see Jesus, your values change. This was my hope chest. I've been saving it for a rainy day. I've been saving this so that when I got off the street, when I was too old to hustle, I could have a place to live. But when she saw Jesus, she said, if this will win Jesus, then I'll give it to Jesus. And so the Bible says she opened the box. No, the Bible didn't say that. That's what we do. Anything you open, you can. And we turn him on and off, depending on how our day went. Depending on how good the preacher preached, we turn him on or depending on the speed of the choir song, we turn him. We pour out a few drops depending on how our day went. But she didn't open the box. The Bible says she broke the box. And anything you break, you can't control how it comes out. All of you that's got so much control, it's because you've been open but not broken. But if you're broken, you'll cry and you can't help it. You don't want to cry, but it's coming out through your cracks and through your tears. When you're broken, it's coming out. And Jesus said, this story must be preached. After you preach repentance and remission of sin, after you preach baptism in his name, after you preach justification and predestination, don't forget to preach this woman, because this woman shows us the real experience. expense of true worship. It will cost you something. You can go through the motions, but real worship will cost you something. And I came to Tennessee to tell you, God is jealous over what you've been holding in your alabaster box. Howdy, yes. And so the Bible says, she let down her hair. That was unrespectable. It was a sign of a trap. She was risking more gossip. Can I tell somebody in here, our hair is too high. Shout hallelujah. Our hair is too high. We're too proud of our pride. We're too proud of what we do and what we don't do. That we've forgotten to show mercy. That we've forgotten to do justly. Shout hallelujah, somebody. And so the Bible says, Jesus was surrounded by his disciples and all of the religious leaders. She walked in a hostile air, and she becomes intimate in the midst of hostility. She breaks through the veil of the flesh and enters into the holies of holies. She washes his feet. The oil on his head went down to the feet. She prepared his body for burial. What's on the head shall be on the feet, shall also be on the whole body. She became personally involved in the worship process. She used her glory to give him glory. And there was a religious person sitting over in the corner. Come on, somebody. That one that thinks they know God. That one that knows everything there is to know about God. And they said, how dare you break the box on his feet? But I came to tell somebody, you can be indignant all you want to. I'm not trying to impress you. I'm not trying to be like you. I came to see Jesus. I came to give him praise. I came to give him glory. Shout yeah. Yes. Shout yes. Hold it. Before you start going crazy. Woo. I came to tell you something. That real worship can't be seen. Real worship can't be seen. But when she broke the box, you couldn't see the aroma, but you could smell it. Come on, somebody. Worship has to be smelled and perceived in the spirit. Can you smell the aroma of worship coming through a broken heart, coming through a heart of struggle? Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. She got so involved in the worship process. When they got around Jesus, they would smell her. When they got around her, they would smell Jesus. Come on, somebody, and shout, yeah. Can you imagine after it was all over? They walked in the room and said, this room didn't smell like this. It was in the wood. It got in the carpet. Lord have mercy. Ooh, glory. It got in the ceiling tiles. Shout yes. Shout yes. She changed the atmosphere by her worship. She changed the hostile atmosphere by her worship. And Tennessee, let me tell you something. In this fire conference, don't murmur. Don't complain. Don't compare yourself. Just worship him. Don't worry about who's who. Who's doing this and who's doing that. Just you worship him. You change the atmosphere. Right in your church, you change the atmosphere. In your section, change the atmosphere. In your organization, shout yeah. I want to tell somebody. Tomorrow, you just having a problem on your job. I want you to go in 30 minutes early. And do what? Change the atmosphere. That boss that's been giving you so much of a problem, you go in his office tomorrow. Come on, somebody. Buka. And walk around his desk. Come on, somebody. And change the atmosphere. Shout, yeah! Do I have a witness that it will work? I know it'll work. I've tried it for myself. And I know he will work it out. Shout hallelujah. I got to quit. I can't keep going. Turn to somebody and tell them, change the atmosphere. Change the atmosphere. Change the atmosphere. Every one of you have an alabaster box. Everybody has got an alabaster box in here. Come on and go with me for just a minute. Lift up your hand. Stretch it towards your cabinet. Open the cabinet. Pull out the alabaster box. This is what I've been saving. This is my hope chest. All that I am is wrapped up in this box. Good God Almighty. Good God Almighty. My pride is in this box. My ego is in this box. Come on, somebody. But tonight, I want to catch on fire. Tonight, I want to explode with the power of God. So I'm not just going to open the box. Get it in your hand. And on the count of three, I want you to break the box. One, two, three. Break the box through your struggle. Break the box through your pain. Break it. Let's worship him. Let's worship him.